they identify people as financially vulnerable, financially coping, and financially healthy. So a lot of what we create initially is right down the middle for financially coping, and then we adjust it based on the audience and what we know. We build our presentations off of things we're hearing in the community, or often what that particular group is wanting to know or learn. So we have a little bit of adjustment that we can do to each class and course while also kind of maintaining that sustainability of our program.
This is Behind the Vault, where we study the best in community banking. On this show, we talk with community bank and credit union leaders about their approaches, challenges, and successes in serving their communities in today's world. I'm your host, Rich Edwards. Our aim is to highlight and strengthen one of the most essential parts of our economy, the community financial institution. Stick around at the end of the show to learn how you can be a guest on Behind the Vault. And now, on with the episode. Most community financial institutions offer some level of education on finances in general and their products specifically. Evolving that into the many ways in which people interact with financial services requires a deliberate effort. With us today to talk about their approach is Bree Shalito. Bree is the Senior Manager of Community and Workforce Well-Being for Ent Credit Union. Ent Credit Union traces its history back to 1957 and was originally created in Colorado to service Ent Air Force Base, which closed in 1996. Since that time, Ent has grown across Colorado to now over 500,000 members and $9.8 billion. Bree, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Rich. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I think probably the place to start is tell us a little bit about Ent's approach to this and your staff and just the scope of what you do to kind of address this for the communities.
Absolutely. So overall, Ent's financial, we're truly, our mission statement is to improve financial lives. And by doing that, we have this team that actually goes out into the community. We offer that in several different ways, in person, virtual. But what we're doing is really teaching people about finances. Some of that starts with the basics, things like budgeting, credit, debt repayment, but even goes further on to talk about things like car buying, home buying, investments. But we do that in several different ways, certainly through classes. We work with schools, organizations. A lot of organizations reach out to us to come and teach something at their organization, but we also reach out to schools. We want to partner closely with both members and non-members in our community and just make sure they're feeling financially well. In addition to classes, we offer webinars where people can join. We record those so they can really join those at any time, ask questions. And then we also offer one-on-one financial coaching. And that's really important to us because as much as classes in the community and talking about some of those concepts as a group helps, really digging in and leaning into their situation and how it applies to them is where you take that to the next step.
So how much of what you do is geared towards, I don't know, preventative maybe is the right word versus kind of dealing with situation, right? Are you a gym or are you more like an emergency room, if you want to think of it that way?
That's a great question. It's a little bit of all of it. So we use a lot of things from the Financial Health Network, and they identify people as financially vulnerable, financially coping, and financially healthy. So a lot of what we create initially is right down the middle for financially coping, and then we adjust it based on the audience and what we know. So often when we're working with groups, we work with a lot of nonprofits here in Colorado. Some of them work with the unhoused population. So certainly we are going to adjust that curriculum to fit that a little bit more so than explaining kind of the difference between needs and wants. On the other side, if we're working generally with businesses and their employer groups, if they tell us that they've already done some version of financial literacy education, we'll try to fit the need for what they need. So sometimes leaning more into that financially healthy. And that's where the one-on-one financial coaching can truly work with the individual to find out where they are rather than working with that group of audience. In the beginning of all of our classes, we use some engagement tools. And one of the several of the questions we asked are always related to the key takeaways from that particular class. So we want to know and get an idea of where people stand on each of those. That gives us an idea of where we should focus while we're talking about the class. And it's completely anonymous. So they can use their phones and engage with us in that way to let us know where they land on some of those key concepts. That way we know if they're really feeling good about one but not the others, we can focus there. And then we ask that exact same set of questions at the end of each course to see if we've kind of gained some education and learning about that audience. So we use that somewhat as a gauge to see where people are at.
So how much of your program is homegrown versus you bought?
That's a great question. So our department specifically, focusing on financial education, actually was developed 7 years ago. I had the opportunity to be the first employee of the team, so that was amazing. And that was the huge concept and question when we got started. Do we build or do we buy? And not that there aren't a ton of great vendors that are offering some really great tools out there, but we really leaned into that build side. So for us, we do work with a couple of vendors, but for the most part, a lot of the things we build are built in-house, primarily among our team. We have the chance to work with some of our designers and other areas of the credit union, but we build our presentations off of things we're hearing in the community, or often what that particular group is wanting to know or learn. So we have a little bit of adjustment that we can do to each class and course while also kind of maintaining that sustainability of our program. So truth be told, we build most of our presentations in a tool like Canva, and then we're putting them into a presentation tool where we can bring that out to audiences.
So how big is, you have like a central team here that puts this together that works on content?
We do.
Okay. How big is the team? I guess is the question.
Sure. So there's five of us total, including myself. Three are really focused on the community education side. So we have a supervisor and then individuals that cover regionally. So we have someone that works with our southern region, someone that works with our northern region, because we're spread across Colorado pretty far. So we just want to make sure that we have coverage in those areas. Not that the team couldn't use a few more folks, but that's where we really try to make sure that coverage is there. And then we have another person that's in charge of actually certifying all of our financial coaches that are our frontline staff out at our service centers. Our entire team is also certified as financial coaches, which helps us create the curriculum. But then we can also take some of those appointments, especially for our employees in-house. Oftentimes, they don't want to work with somebody that they work with every day on their finances because it's personal. So our team is trained on that. We have a few folks in our back office also trained and certified to be a financial coach if we have members or non-members that are calling in or wanting to do those virtual visits.
So most of the delivery is done through branch personnel, kind of in the one-on-one contact?
Yes.
And how many is that?
It is a moving target. Our ideal state, we have 54 service centers as of right now. We'd love to have a coach at every service center. And Emma, our supervisor of financial coaching, has certified over 70 people. But as anyone that listens to this podcast would know, staff that are out in the front line, it's moving. They move to other service centers. They move to the back office. They get promoted. So we have a total right now of right around 40 coaches, financial coaches across many of our centers. Some of them have more than one if they're busier. But yeah, total of 40. And then our team as well with a few back office folks. So including those, I guess you'd actually put the total closer to about 50 certified financial coaches.
And is this like other than your central team, is this like a full-time role for them, or this is in addition to something else in the branch?
That's a great question. It is considered one of our specialties. So they are a member service representative. They're helping our members as they come into the branches. And then this is something they're doing in addition to that. We have other specialties, like ones that focus on business accounts and help with the lending side. So this is one of those specialties that they can do financial coaching. We do see at each service center, just depending on the size and traffic that they get, they are having at least 5 to 10 appointments, depending on the size, each month. If the coach is available and there, an appointment isn't necessary. A member or non-member could walk in the door and speak to a coach. But if they're maybe having their day off or they're on their lunch, an appointment's definitely suggested. So we have those available for them as well.
So the rough numbers here is you have a membership of about 500,000 and You've got 50 folks that are part-time or mostly dedicated to kind of Service that, plus whatever multiple is outside.
Correct.
Okay. So other than like this internal program and this like enablement and the trainer type approach, what other channels or what other venues?
Sure. So because you mentioned it first, that idea of the train the trainer. So we have the financial coaching program and we partner with America's Credit Unions to do that. That's that CCUFC designation. We work on that a little bit in-house as well. We want to make sure that our staff feel supported as they're going through getting that designation. So we have that. But we also have a great program that's actually specific to our in-house staff here called Money Life. And seven years ago, before we even started building things that focused on things for our communities, we started in-house. We wanted to make sure that our employees were feeling financially well. So that program was the very first program we started to really test out some of these concepts, teaching about budgeting, credit. And so through some of those, we have some great activities where we incentivize employees to get to know that. Because working for a bank, you get a lot of questions, a lot of financial questions from family, friends, members of the community, even our members, about a lot of those topics. And just because you work for a financial institution doesn't mean you know that information. You are well trained on your job, how to use the systems, how to support members, but not necessarily on the financial side. So that program has existed for the past 7 years to do just that, make sure that people are feeling financially comfortable for themselves, especially this particular month. We're celebrating Financial Capability Month in April. For years, it was known as Financial Literacy Month, and it just changed this year. But we hosted an in-house book club where we read a financial book together and got together and talked about some of those sessions and talked about things for ourselves and also some resources if anybody wanted to speak with a financial coach. So we started in-house. So that program, I'm just very proud of. That really showcases employee skills and makes sure that they feel like they're being taken care of as well.
So you mentioned certification. Talk a little bit about like which third-party certifications you've looked at, or I know you have a couple personal. Bank has some. Which ones have you found to be valuable? Meaning, if I'm from the outside in and I'm looking to do something similar, which ones are worth pursuing or worth looking at?
Absolutely. So the one that we've decided on, and it really is just more of a cost initiative, but it's a great program as well. It's through America's Credit Unions, formerly CUNA, and it is the CCUFC. So the designation itself stands for Certified Credit Union Financial Counselor, even though we've kind of changed that verbiage to financial coach. We think that's just a little bit easier to digest for folks. That particular program includes a lot of studying. There's a book that comes with it, so you do a lot of studying, and then at the end, you do a proctored exam. We spread that program out over 6 months with our frontline staff, which seems like a long time, but as you said, they're doing other things. They have a full-time job at our service centers, taking care of our members. So we do several review sessions, we do an initial kickoff session, and then of course, a closing session to get them ready for when they do their exam. The reason that we've chosen that one, not only because it is a really great program and gets them prepared to do that, it talks about not only the financial concepts, but also truly sitting down and coaching individuals, which is sometimes the hurdle that they need to get by, even if they have the information. How am I going to contribute to someone else's financial life? So it does both, because the America's Credit Unions actually has a training bundle that if you're involved in the training bundle, that certification, which would otherwise be somewhere around $1,500, is completely free. So the only additional cost to the credit union outside of that bundle, which we already had for other reasons, is just the proctored exam, which is somewhere around $25 to $30, depending on where they're going.
And so you do all the prep for that internally and kind of work that as part of your own training?
We do, yeah. So Emma, the supervisor of financial coaching, she actually works through that book. She has all of that curriculum built in, but also somewhat to our organizational needs. The certification itself goes in depth on a lot of different subjects, including things like bankruptcy. But for a financial institution, some of those things are things that we're regulated on in a different way. So those are some of the subjects that we avoid. So of course, it's in the book. They have to learn it. They have to be able to pass. But we really focus on the things that they're going to be working with our members on, which truly are budget, credit, debt management, some of those pieces there, and just making sure they're bettering their lives.
So how do you kind of classify what you, because it's certainly an element of customer service or anything else, but there's also the element of like the kind of had tinges. How do you think about that from, you know, kind of having one foot in both operations?
Yeah, you're exactly right. The partnerships with those areas are huge. So especially with the frontline staff serving as our coaches, we're very ingrained with operations, making sure that we're selecting the right coaches, making sure that they're comfortable with that. Of course, that's why we spread that program over 6 months, because we want to make sure that they're feeling supported while also having the time to focus on what they were hired to do. So we have that. But what you said, marketing, we have huge relationships with marketing. We have a specialist that helps us get some of our information out. Puts out things about our webinars, things through social media. In particular, because it's Financial Capability Month, we focused a lot on the financial personalities. We've been trying to drive a lot more of that financial psychology into the work that we do. So for this month, what we thought of that as a foundation. If you kind of understand which money personality is yours, you know, especially if you're kind of a personality like avoiding finances, that can be a setback, but understanding it and kind of knowing who you are and how to achieve those goals, even though that's kind of a key part of your personality, is huge. So that's been a focus. Even marketing materials, having those marketing materials. We work with our business development team. We are all about partnerships across the credit union and outside of the credit union to make this happen.
So do you find that is to kind of be more push or pull, right? Are you trying to inject what you're doing marketing, or are they coming to you and say so many slots for collateral or whatever?
It's a little bit of both, I'll be honest. I'll say that there's things that we need from them, but truly, it's been a collaborative effort to make financial well-being a part of a lot of what we do. That's certainly the way that we see the future moving, people wanting to know more information about finances, people wanting to have financial freedom and flexibility in what they do and not feeling trapped by their finances. So as much as we can weave it into different products, services, and have those associated, the better. Even when it comes to some of our products like loans, a home equity line of credits is a great example. There's tons of confusion around a product like that. What do I use it for? How does it work? So if we can weave in some education with things like that, then that's a perfect fit. We can kind of work together on making sure that we both reach goals of educating folks to empower them while also being sure that they understand how our products and services work.
So how are you organized? Like, where do you sit in like the org chart?
That's a great question. And it's been a discussion over many years. We actually live under the development umbrella. So especially those in the credit union industry would probably know the fantastic Molly Bell. She's our chief development officer here at Ent Credit Union. So she leads areas really on the back office side of things like our learning and cultural enrichment team, our workforce belonging team, internal communications. So it's really under that development umbrella. But across my other friends at other credit unions, it often does live in umbrellas, like you mentioned, marketing, operations, even sometimes conjoined with things like business development. So that's how it's worked so far here for us.
So you said you've kind of been involved in this for the past 7 years as the thing has grown up. So, I mean, obviously there's some level of success here with that if it's continuing funded and grown.
Absolutely.
So how have you measured success? Like what does winning look like that, you know, kind of gets the continued support for everything going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. So truly leaning into our mission statement has been a key indicator of like improving financial lives. The way that we seek to improve impact and show impact to our members and non-members is through just truly tracking how many people we're engaging with, how many people are coming to our classes or webinars. We also have some phenomenal relationships through local media sources. So getting to be in earned media interviews where we're talking about some of these concepts. But a lot of the measurement is truly actually kind of it's evolved over time. We've gotten some great indications through our customer relationship management tool, the CRM that we have here for financial coaching specifically, where we're asking them as they start that journey with a financial coach, what is their credit score? If that's something that they want to focus on, where do we get it to? What are their other goals? Are they trying to save money? Are they trying to build an emergency savings? Did we accomplish that through working with them? So some of those great member stories, really getting members out of extreme debt has been a huge indication. And truly what we're looking to do through these programs, we'd love to find new ways to measure. We're constantly talking about that internally as well as with other credit unions and organizations. But we really want to make an impact and be sure that we're proving that impact, certainly to keep us being funded, but also just to make sure that we're educating to empower.
So what was important when you started, like when you were kind of first getting out of the ground, what was the thing that said, hey, this is continuing maybe in those 4 months or whatever?
Absolutely. I think that's the thing. As soon as I speak to people about what I do, often they're like, oh, that's so needed. I didn't learn that in high school, or I wish that was required, or some of those other pieces. So I think it's kind of the start was the feel good that this is something that we're going to do. We're going to lean into that mission of improving financial lives. But from that point, it's making sure that our members and our communities are financially healthy so that they're able to continue to live in this community. Colorado is not an inexpensive place to live. So we want to be sure that our members, that our community is thriving and that they have the access to the information to do that. Because as much as it often seems simple when you work for a bank or a credit union, kind of the understanding of money, there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of shame around things with money. And so when people have access to this information, and that's even where some of our partnerships come in, this is not the funnest topic. And when they're in charge of choosing between a webinar on finances and something else fun, the likelihood they'll choose something else fun. So we know that. So we work with a lot of partnerships where it's a required audience. Maybe it's a classroom. We work with military organizations that are here in Colorado. So if they're required to be there, whether they were excited for it or not, we do find that often they're very appreciative that we were there. And we find that they really have gained a lot of insight through sitting through a class, or and often they will schedule appointments with us to do some financial coaching, which they otherwise wouldn't have.
Well, Bree, this has been interesting, particularly to hear about the evolution of kind of how this has changed and how you've grown and matured the approach.
Yeah.
If anybody's really interested in hearing more and maybe delving into some more of the details, where can they best go to get some more?
Absolutely. So end.com is where we have most of our information about our classes. If they wanted to reach out to me directly, they're welcome to do that. Either just directly finding me through LinkedIn is probably the easiest way to connect. Because we also, I want to share this as well, we have a roundtable that's hosted once a month on the third Wednesday of every month, where we talk as credit unions and other organizations that are offering tools and services like this, and just share. Last month specifically was all about measuring and metrics and how we can continue to justify what we do and be sure it's funded. So if they'd like to join in on that, I'd love for anyone to join us.
And that's reaching out to you directly.
They certainly can. Absolutely. I can also provide you with a registration link if you'd like.
We'll put that in the show notes. Bree, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
This has been Behind the Vault, a production of Mindspan Systems, helping community FIs provide service like no other. Learn more at mindspaninc.com. If you're a community bank or credit union leader and have a story to tell, please visit behindthevaultpod.com/guest. That's behindthevaultpod.com/guest. If you found this episode useful, leave a rating on Apple Podcasts, as that helps other FI leaders like you find the show. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for more insider stories from community banking on Behind the Vault.